Góðan daginn, kæru vinir. Í dag gestur minn leikmaður sem kom og spilaði með tveimur liðum á Íslandi fyrra. Var valinn besti leikmaður lengjudeildarinnar, áður hann flutti sig yfir Kópavoginn og var síðasta púslið sem vantar til þess að Breiðablik var Íslandsmeistari. Hún spilaði sjö leiki með Blikum í fyrra en tók samt að komast í lið ársins, slíku verið gæðin. Við tökum þetta viðtal eðli málsins samkvæmt á ensku og flytjum okkur því nú yfir á hið engilsaxneska mál. Today I'm joined by Samantha Rose Smith, a talented player from Boston, Massachusetts, who plays now for Breiðablik in the Icelandic top division. We'll talk about her football journey or soccer journey, her experience adapting to life in Iceland and her dreams for the future. Samantha, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Do you miss Whitney like me and my friends in Norway do?
I mean, that's probably one of the best performances of the national anthem.
That ever. Is my, yeah. that's my, I agree with you on that.
Yeah.
I love the national anthem of the U.S. I think it's the best, probably, apart from Iceland, that's maybe.
Yeah, I got to learn the Icelandic one.
Well, I know a lot of people, and I know none who can sing it without a piece of paper. And even though we have a piece of paper in front of us, it's impossible to sing it. So I would probably focus on something else.
All right, I will. All
right. Any Icelandic words you've learned since you moved to Iceland?
Yeah, my favorite saying these days is ekkert stress.
Ekkert stress.
It really just relieves any pressure that I put on myself or others. It's just ekkert stress.
Yeah, that's, I mean... But I guess the Icelandic girls, both in the East and here at Breiðablik, try to teach you.
Yes. No, it's a daily thing. We'll just be like sitting in the locker room or during practice and I'll think of a word and I'll just ask them how to say it in Icelandic. And they'll tell me and then I'll like say it to myself five times and then I'll try to like say it in a sentence. Mm-hmm. They say that I'm getting pretty good at Icelandic, mm-hmm. but I think they're just being nice.
Used any Icelandic words on the refs?
Oh, I did say Dómari the other day, or one in one of our games, and he, like, looked at me. And I was like, But I try to say some Icelandic words, but I don't want to, like, say them wrong in the game setting, but I'm trying to work them in.
Word of the day. That's a nice way to learn Icelandic.
Yeah.
One, two, three.
Yep.
And then suddenly you got it.
Yeah.
You've had a very interesting time since you moved to Iceland. What is it, just over a year ago?
Yeah, just over a year.
Yeah, and I really want to ask you about that. But I want to start with your upbringing in Boston.
Boston, let's go.
How, I mean, when did you start playing? Do you want to talk about football or soccer?
Okay, I'm trying to say football more, but it's hard because... We have American football back home. Yeah. But I am trying to say, like, football pitch instead of field and all that. Like, I'm trying to work in some European settings.
Let's use soccer.
Yeah.
Then I feel a little bit American again.
Yeah.
So, when did you start playing soccer?
Probably when I was, like, four. I have two older brothers, so whatever sports they did, I did. And I think we all started out with soccer.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I started from a young age. And then... I think our parents put us in a bunch of different sports because we had so much energy. And so we played a variety of different sports growing up. And then my brothers moved into, like, basketball and American football. Mm-hmm. And I kind of just stuck with soccer, basketball, and, like, running, track.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Did you ever realize, hey, I'm quite good at this?
I think that was in, like, high school, mm-hmm. in club. Because then I started attracting attention from, like, D1 schools. And I was like, whoa, I could actually play college soccer. And
D1 means Division 1.
Yes,
in the college.
Yeah.
College system.
Yeah.
Did you manage to go to a D1?
I did. Cool. Yeah. I went to Boston College for 4 years, and then I went to Texas A&M for a year. And they're both in, like, the Power Five conferences. Like, there's five big conferences in the U.S. Mm-hmm. And they were in two different ones, but, yeah.
I've lived in Texas and Ohio, and I've been to Boston a few times. Something tells me that even you had a cultural shock living in Texas versus Boston. Does it make any sense?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a culture shock because Boston College is in the city. Yeah. And then Texas A&M is in, like, a very much college town in the middle of kind of nowhere in Texas.
Yeah.
And it's such a big school.
Yeah.
With fraternities and sororities, and it's a big party school, big football school, which Boston College really wasn't.
Okay.
And so I got a completely different experience down there, and it was just a culture shock living in the South compared to up in Boston.
The heat.
Oh my God.
The humidity.
I think I played in a record heat summer. Mm. It was over 100 degrees Fahrenheit, which I'm not sure what that is, Celsius.
That's 40 degrees Celsius.
Yeah, over 40 degrees Celsius for like 2 months straight. Mm. And it was tough.
I lived there for a year. Yeah. And I remember watching the TV one day, and they said, "Today marks the day we've got more than 100 degrees for one." No, we've got more. Yeah, we've got more than 100 degrees for 100 days in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, now I've been living in Iceland for a year, and I never bothered by the wind and the cold in Iceland after that experience.
Yeah, it's definitely different here, for sure.
But playing soccer in 40 degrees Celsius versus Iceland, isn't it? I mean, the game must be completely different.
Yeah, some games, depending on, like, how much we felt the heat, we would have water breaks in the middle of halves. And we played later on in the day, mostly at, like, 7 at night. So it was, like, a little bit colder than what it would be in the middle of the day. But it's definitely easier to play in this weather than it is in that.
I imagine that's the truth. I mean, it was hard. It was difficult enough for me to run training sessions.
Yeah.
We didn't have, when I was doing training sessions in Houston, Texas, we didn't have water breaks in 25 minutes. We had them every 7 minutes, or else I was just going to collapse.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to be talking about me here. Let's do that for later. But what did you study in the States?
I studied business at both schools. I got an undergrad degree in management at Boston College, and then I'm in the midst of finishing a master's in entrepreneurial leadership at Texas A&M.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah.
What do you think you're going to do after your career as a soccer player? It's over.
I've, like, put a little bit of thought into it, but I'm still not really sure. I think I want to go into the business side of sports.
Mm-hmm.
Some people ask me if I want to be a coach or anything like that. I don't think I have the patience for that. As much as I would love to share my knowledge with others, I don't think coaching will be the route that I go. But I think I want to be, like, behind the scenes in the business side of sport organizations.
Do you do any coaching here? Have you been doing any coaching here in Iceland?
Yeah, so last year I did some with FHL out east, or FOEC.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very minimal coaching. We kind of just, like, played against them in practice and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But here with Breiðablik, I'm coaching with Kate, the other American on the team. Yeah. And we're able to, like, run some drills with the kids. And I try to use some of the limited Icelandic I know in drills and stuff. And, like, the kids do help us out with our Icelandic. Like, they tell us how to pronounce things. Yeah. But I'm working on it. It's a work in progress.
Kids are the best teachers.
Yeah, they are. So
they don't judge.
Yep, they don't.
They just want to help.
They're just like, "What are you saying?" I'm like, "Okay, I don't know."
Well, I'm a teacher, and they sometimes ask me, "What are you trying to say?"
Yeah.
Because we, of course, use different language now than kids do nowadays. How about, you know, going from Boston down to Texas, and then you're in Reyðarfjörður. That's a strange route.
It's a jump, yeah.
That must be some kind of shock. How do you end up in Iceland from America?
Well, I played with a couple Icelandic girls at Boston College. Linda Leaf with Víkingur and Ragna Sara with Íbivá. And so at my time in Boston, they told me that, like, if I wanted to keep playing after college, I could always come play in the Icelandic League. Because that was when Íbivá was in Bestadilden, I think. And so, like, it was always just in the back of my head that I could come play here if I wanted to. And, I mean, Iceland's a hot spot for tourists these days. So, like, it was on my list of places that I wanted to visit anyway. And then I got an agent out of Texas A&M, or, like, after my time at Texas A&M. And he had a couple teams around Europe interested. But then once he said an Icelandic team, I was like, sure, like, let's go. And I honestly didn't look much into it. Looking back, that was a crazy move from me. But I knew that they had signed a few other Americans, so I wasn't going to be alone. So that helped in my decision to go there. But then once I signed, I looked up Reyðarfjörður on a map, and I was like, oh, what am I going to do?
Did you do?
Oh, well, we actually made the most of it. Like, me and the other Americans on the team were just kind of like, let's just have fun, let's make the most of this experience and see what we can see in Iceland. And so we would go in the other fjords and see waterfalls and see other places in the east. And then whenever we came to the city, we would see what we could see. Which, looking back, like, we'd always go to grocery stores and I never knew where I was. But now I'm driving around Reykjavik and I'm like, oh my God, that's where we went. Those are the grocery stores that we would stop at. But it was just such a cool experience to see out east. It's so pretty out there.
Yeah, it's a great place.
Yeah, and we had a nice summer last year. There were some days that it was good weather, hot.
Yeah,
like lay out, like get some sun.
60 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yeah, it was nice.
And I mean, but what did your parents say? Yeah, I'm flying to Iceland. The airport, the international airport, is about 15 minutes away from an active volcano.
Yeah, they were freaking out a little bit. And my mom was like, text me before you go to bed every night, which I never did. But I do, like, try to call her once a week just to check in. And every time I call her, she's like, oh, you're alive. Oh, good to see your face. And I'm like, Mom, come on. Iceland is so safe.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably the safest place in the world.
Especially compared to the U.S., yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you can't compare it to Texas, at least.
No. Yeah, no.
But how, I mean, but, I mean, you started playing with Fjarðabyggð. And did obviously very well, best player in the league, and scored a lot of goals, and you get promoted. Did you ever think, what am I doing here? I'm too good for this.
Like, no, because I try to be very humble. Like, I couldn't have done the things that I did without the other girls around me. Like, we set each other up so much, and the way that, like, Kalle played allowed for us to kind of play freely and do as well as we could do. So, I mean, I like to just give credit to the people around me, because we just, I don't know, it just clicked. In Spain, we kind of felt, in the preseason camp in Spain, we kind of felt like, hey, we could maybe do something. And then before we came to Iceland, the other Americans and I were like, let's mess around and win the league. Like, and at that point, it was kind of a joke, but also at the same time, we were like, we could probably do whatever we want. Like, this could go well for us.
Comparing the second division in Iceland, or we call it the first division, of course, because Bestadeildin would be probably called the Premier League or something like that. Comparing the second division to the college football in America, was it a shock? Was it big difference? Or
I think the first division's probably a lower level. Like, definitely than the ACC and SEC, which are the conferences that I played in. Definitely lower than that, but I'd probably compare it to D2, D3, Division 1, Division 3. Division 2, Division 3. But Bestadilden is definitely a higher level. It's definitely better football all around. And it challenges me more to be a better player.
Was there anything in the East that surprised you? Anything about, you know, living in a small fishing village that was surprising?
I mean, yeah, just like the lack of like everything around you kind of thing. I mean, aside from the nature, that was just, I couldn't get that here. I mean, you can, but farther away. But it was, we had mountains in our backyard. Yeah. We would go out and see the Northern Lights or like a beautiful sunset around the mountains. Mm. And here, it's just like not as pretty because it's more of a city. But I think the most surprising thing was the fact that we were surrounded by mountains. I've never, because even in Boston, I don't have mountains there. If I lived out west, maybe in like Colorado, mm-hmm. I could be used to that, but not from where I'm from.
Yeah, Boston is kind of flat.
Yeah.
And Texas definitely is.
Texas definitely is. Oh my gosh. This, but the sunsets in Texas, those are beautiful mm-hmm. because it's so flat.
Mm-hmm. Then, you know, well, I want, I have to talk to you. I mean, did you manage to become a better player in this, in those few months in the East? Did Kalle manage to help you grow as a player?
I definitely think he did help me grow. I think that he helped me gain confidence because I think I lost some of my confidence in college mm-hmm. just through different coaching environments, different playing environments. And so I do think that playing with FHL boosted my confidence and like ability to shoot and set my teammates up and like just take people on, because I didn't do that much, I guess, before, but like now it's just kind of second nature.
But I mean, we who follow Icelandic football and soccer, sorry, mm-hmm. and me talking to your coaches and teammates, we all say that you're good on taking people on, good left foot, good right foot, even good on heading the ball. So did they take that away from you in the States? Or?
No, I mean, we always kind of developed that, especially my club soccer.
Someone barking.
Not me. I'm very lucky and fortunate to have grown up in the club that I did grow up in because they stressed the importance of the ability to use both feet and being technical. So I kind of carried that throughout like my high school club college days, and so that's definitely helped me here. I just think like sometimes college soccer can just knock you down. It's just like a tough experience, I guess, all around. Like, yeah, you'll have people that'll win national championships every year, but that was not what I went through. I learned a lot in my 5 years of college.
Okay, in Iceland you've had King Kalle and Nick mm-hmm. and Edda, of course, coaching you. Are the coaches and the coaching different here in Iceland than it was in college in the States?
I think I would compare Nick's coaching style to that of college soccer because like he's so detail focused and mm-hmm. he likes to do film and study other teams and do all that, which definitely helps how we approach different games, how we play in different games. And I'm grateful that I have that because he just like puts so much work in behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. And that's very similar to what we do in college. Last year, I think we kind of just like went with the flow in Langedilden. Like we were just taking it game by game.
I mean, you were winning every game. So.
I know, which helped. That definitely helped in the grand scheme of things. Because it definitely makes things harder when you're not doing so well and not as successful. But, yeah, I guess last year was a little bit more laid back than what we have at Breidablik. But that just might be since they weren't, like, in the best of Dildon, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like
the league is much more competitive.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But, you know, Icelandic players compared to the girls in the U.S., I mean, are there any similarities or do you see anything that we are lacking that they have or vice versa maybe?
I think that Icelandic girls are, like, the game here is a lot more physical. I'd mm-hmm. compare it more to, like, SEC play because I guess the girls are just, like, a little bit more physical in that conference, whereas, like, ACC with schools like Florida State and UNC that want the ball down and want to play mm-hmm. and are, like, more technical. I think you see, like, we have a very good, like, Braithwaite has a very good team with players that can do both, but you can see within some other teams within this league and, like, Langendalden that have either the more, like, they're just more physical than technical. Mm-hmm. And one of the girls, I think, on FOET last year said that, like, the common theme with when they bring Americans in is, like, Americans can just run more and, like, I don't know, just there. I know, I don't know what's going on.
We just have a motorcycle here in the backyard.
He's just driving circles around us. The girl said that, like, we were just.
CIA.
Yeah, right. They're watching. The girl said that we were just, like, in very good shape compared to what they do. Because I think we run more in the States. Like, our fitness test compared to what we did last year. Mm. This year with Braithwaite, like, they do, I experienced some of their winter training, and they do lifting and running, but I think that we just do a lot more in the States and in college soccer.
What about tactics and, you know, tactical training in here in Iceland versus the States? Is it more tactical over there, or?
Like, similar, but yeah. I guess a little bit more tactical. Like, we play a lot more here. Mm. Not to say that we don't play in the States, but I would compare Braithwaite very much so to a college team because of everything that the coaches and staff do behind the scenes and, like, the way that they run trainings. It's very much like the college level.
Then you moved to Braithwaite. In the window last year. How did that come about?
That was a crazy whirlwind of emotions and everything because we had secured winning the league. Not promotion yet, but winning the league. Mm-hmm. And that night, Nick had sent me a message. Mm-hmm. But we had a team thing, so I was like, oh, I'm going to address this tomorrow. Like, I'm going to hang out with my teammates and be here, whatever. And then... The next day rolls around and I get another message from Nick and I was like, oh my God, I don't know what to do. What do I do? So I called my parents and a couple of people back home just to, like, see what they thought about the whole situation. But something was telling me that I did need to make the jump from FHL to the Vestadilden.
I mean, players don't want to play on as high level as they can, right?
Yeah.
And you're going from a team that has already... gotten promoted, and now you're going to go for the league.
Yeah.
And Nick, of course, he's on the clock because the winter is getting closed and Agla Maria is injured. I know this, know those things. But, I mean, was it a good decision?
I think so. I mean, it was funny because once I got the message, I told my American roommates and I was like, one of them, Emma Hawkins, went to Portugal. And so the other girls were kind of just like, would you leave if a team reached out to you? And I was like, honestly, they would have to be first or second in their league. Like, they'd have to be top two. I'm not going to go to a lower team that's not fighting for anything. And then Braithwaite reached out, and I was like, well, I mean, they're fighting for the Mill Cup and the Icelandic Cup and Champions League. And I was like, well, this just, like, kind of felt like I needed to take that step. I had to. And so... I mean, I think it's paid off, but yeah. I'm just so glad that I came to Braithwaite.
And how, I mean, you didn't do well. You did great. You probably did better than you expected, or what?
100%.
I mean, you were scoring more than a goal in each game.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I've talked with Nick, and I've talked with some of your teammates, and they just said she was the last puzzle.
Yeah.
Without her, we wouldn't have won the league.
It honestly felt that way. Like, they had a great system, and the way that they play is just, it kind of complements how I play, and I complement how they play. So I kind of just, like, fit right in. It was so weird, and, like, all the girls are so nice, which everyone in Iceland who I've met has been nice. I don't know if you guys are all just really nice or I've just met all the nice people, but it felt like I just fit right in, and I was just so glad that the transition was so easy because it just, like, made me feel better about leaving FOET because I did feel guilty in the beginning because I didn't want to leave them. I wanted to finish out the season, you know what I mean? But once things went the way that they went with Bray the Wick, I was like, yeah, this was the right move.
I was just surprised because I did follow it up last year, and I know both Nick and Kali, and I was thinking, I would never have let you know.
Yeah.
Because he lost his best player, and he, you know, it's more difficult for him to get you to play with him this year because he obviously wanted to have you playing with him this year.
Yeah.
But I would think it shows how, I of course know him, how great of a guy he is, saying, okay, I want the best for my player, and he let you go.
Yeah. Well, he talked to me about it. He said that he always wants what's best for us, and he knows that, he knew coming in with each of us Americans that, like, this could just be a stepping stone, but we were going to make the most of the time that we did have with FOS, and, like, he was like, I always want you guys to go on and do great things. And if this is what you're like, because we talked before I had agreed with Bray the Wick, and he was just like, if this is where you what you want to do next, like, I'll miss you, but it's fine because I'm proud of you, and this is a good move.
You mentioned stepping stone. You coming to Iceland a year ago, did you look at it as a stepping stone, or did you just want to enjoy playing, or what did you have in the back of your mind?
I kind of thought of it as just like, yeah, I guess a stepping stone, just like the first step in my professional career. Like, I had entered the NWSL draft. I didn't get drafted. So I was just like, I'm going to take a different route, and I'm going to make the most of wherever I go. And having known Linda and Ragna, like, it helped me want to come here more. And Linda had also said that Iceland is a good transition place to go into other countries around Europe and, like, even in the U.S. So I kind of thought of it as that, like, if I can use this year to get in somewhere else, or I don't know. I'm, like, taking it one season at a time, but yeah.
So football coaches, they are often recruiting is an absolute key, I mean, for every team, and you're judged by how you recruit. I'm wondering, you know, where were all the clubs in the top league last year when you were going to FOS, with all respect to them, you know, where were the clubs in Iceland picking? Why didn't they find you before them? Didn't you have any options of going to Valur, FO, Breiðablik, Stjarnan, KR actually in the second division? Were there no other clubs in Iceland who were?
No, just FOS.
Just FOS?
Yeah.
Okay. That's a shame for the other clubs, because they missed out, obviously.
Yeah.
And we have players from FOS, of course, also in FO now, doing a great job there. So, well done, Kalli.
Yeah, well done, Kalli. King Kalli.
He did his homework.
Yeah, he did.
But, I mean, did it just click right away with you and Breiðablik?
Yeah. I was obviously nervous the first few trainings, and my first game was 2 days in, and it was the Milk Cup final, and I was...
Against Valur?
Yep, extremely nervous. And I had one of the goalkeeper, Keelan, of FOS. Mm-hmm. She was in the city. I think she was flying out in a day or two, so she was staying with me.
Mm-hmm.
And so she came to the game, and, like, that kind of eased my nerves a little bit, but I was pooping my pants for lack of better words.
We use this phrase in Iceland.
Okay, good. Okay.
Skita isi.
Yeah, that. And so, we had played in the Milk Cup. We were in the first couple rounds, and then we lost against FO with FOS. And so I kind of forgot it was even happening because we didn't know when the games were, what the schedule was. Like, this year, we know that it's on KSE and all that. But last year, we had no idea. And
you were just playing and having fun.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so then that game rolled around, and I was like, oh my God, the Milk Cup is still going on. And then I was playing in it. And I went in, I don't even know, but I went in, which I honestly didn't know if I was going to play or not. And once I got in, like, the level of play is just so high, and Bray looks so good. We were unfortunate with that game, but we were just focusing on the league after that.
You probably needed one game ahead.
Yeah.
Then the storyline might have been different.
No, I agree. That well, with that getting in against Valur, that eased my nerves going into league play. So I think that it helped me get into the flow of things once we hit Þróttur and Víkingur and then the playoffs.
But in the East, you're we could say you're a big fish in a small pond, right? Do you understand what that means?
Yeah.
Then you come to Breiðablik, which is a team packed with national team players and former professionals like Berglind and Agla and all those girls, you know. No problem settling in.
I mean, they just make me a better player because I'm surrounded by girls that are better than me. Like, they're better than me. I don't care what anyone else says. Like, they are class soccer players. And so our trainings are just so competitive. Like, we were holding each other to such a high level that, like, that's what's allowing us to achieve greatness. That's what's allowing us to be so successful is our trainings. Like, we get so much out of them. We have this Champions League competition that, like, we're constantly fighting for points in each drill that we do. So it...
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so it makes the level higher, and then we just carry that momentum into games.
Nick came to Iceland 10, 15 years ago. He was an awful player, absolutely terrible
player. Yeah, that's what I hear, yeah. I tell him that on a daily basis.
did only manage to play fourth and fifth division.
Yeah.
You know, but he still thinks he's good. But no, I'm joking. Then he took over Þróttur and did an amazing job. I've told him that personally. I think what he did with Þróttur is even more of an achievement than he has already done at Breiðablik, which is actually a great achievement. You know, winning is very difficult. But they are two. He took with him Edda. And I don't know if you know, but Edda is one of the best players in the history of Icelandic football.
So I found that out this year. Last year, she was intimidating, and I didn't talk to her much. I didn't know her as a person, so I didn't know her much last season. But this season, I love her.
I mean, she played with Chelsea, for example.
Yeah.
And she played in Sweden, and I think she has played about 100 caps or something.
Yeah.
I don't know her, but I know Nick. But I would think that they might be different types of coaches.
Kind of, yeah.
How do they work together?
Like, you can see them on the sidelines. They'll consult each other for different parts of the game, like, what should she do here? What should we do here? How can we defend this better? How can we attack this better kind of thing? Like, it's a cool dynamic to see on the sideline because they're constantly talking to one another and, like, sharing their knowledge and their approach to the game. Mm-hmm. I think that Nick is very much, like, a very passionate coach. He wears his emotions on his sleeve on the sideline, and Edda is, like, less of, like, an emotive person. Like, she's not, like, she screams, yeah, but she's more, like, Nick will be, like, that you need to be doing better, and then Edda will be, like, here we go, like, next one. You know what I mean? Like, they kind of balance each other in that way.
I would have thought, you know, I would have thought that he would be the good cop, she would be the bad cop.
They switch. Yeah.
All right. But the game against, you know, you played this final against Valur, last game of the season. Full house in Valur, which doesn't happen on a regular basis here in Iceland, unfortunately. Do you remember the leading up of that game? You needed a point.
Yeah. Honestly, no.
You don't?
No, I wish I did, because it honestly felt like a dream, because we were like, we need to win or tie. And I also had my
I was going to talk to you about this for 50 minutes.
No, okay, we can round up. No, because maybe you can bring back some memories.
No, I'm just thinking, you know, do you remember anything, you know, in the build-up to the game? I mean, for the girls, probably, born and raised at Kópavogur, this is the biggest game of their life.
Yeah, I think it helped that I played against Valur in the Mill Cup final, because then I understood the rivalry. I understood, like, the passion behind those kinds of games. So I had something to play for. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, I know there's, like, Breiðablik Valur, whenever that they come together, it's a big game. But I didn't really know that. And so after the Mill Cup game, I was like, all right, next time we play them, like, we're battling. We're getting, a point, 3 points. We're getting something out of it. Because I was pissed. After we lost, I knew that we could do better. And I think that everyone on the team would say that too. Mm-hmm. And I also saw some girls crying after the Milk Cup final. And I was like, I don't want them, like, I feel bad. Like, I'm playing for them. Mm-hmm. I saw Austa. I saw, like, her passion and her love for the game. And I wanted to play for her. Mm-hmm. And so that last game, like, we were playing for Austa. We were playing for the season. We were playing for each other. And so we were able to scrape out a point. It was a close game, stressful game, but I mean, we came out on top, and I honestly think we deserved to be the Icelandic champions.
The Icelandic champions always deserve to be champions. You never win anything with luck. It's impossible.
True. Yeah.
Do you remember your feelings after the final whistle is blown?
I was just like, did that really just happen?
I mean, what a year.
What a summer. Are you kidding me? I'd never won that much in my whole life.
No.
Like, because college, really, like, the reason that I wanted to keep playing after college was that I didn't feel like I got a lot out of it because I didn't have a lot of those winning moments and those, like, you worked so hard for this, it's paying off kind of moments. And so that's why I was like, I want to keep playing. I'm not done. I still love the game. Like, I still want to see the world and use it to see the world, use it to meet new people. And so after that, if I felt fulfilled, I was like, we worked for this. And like, I've put in the work behind the scenes. And so I was just like, wow, I was in shock.
Your performance last year, did it attract any, what do you say? Did you get, you know, contacted by other clubs in, well, not in Iceland. I would probably think Scandinavia or somewhere else in Europe.
Yeah, I had a few teams in Denmark. I had Brøndby.
Brøndby.
Yeah, which Baura and Kristin Dees had played there, so I, like, talked to them about them. Yeah. And then I also had a team in Sweden, Norway, and Scotland. I went on a little trial for a week at Rangers, where Telma is, which she was visiting, like, the week after I went there, which was a crazy turnaround, but they're a very good club, and it was a cool week.
You mentioned Norway.
Yeah.
Do you remember the clubs that contacted you from Norway?
No, I wish I wrote it down, but I could probably find it if you wanted me to.
Rosenborg?
No, I don't think it was them.
Brann?
I don't remember.
These were the clubs that contacted me and asked for players in Iceland. I said, this Sammy and Breiðablik.
Maybe it was one of them. I honestly forget. I'll give you the info later, yeah.
Well, but, you know, we talked about stepping stones before. Do you look at Iceland as a stepping stone going abroad, going to other places in Europe after this an amazing season?
Like, yes. But also, like, anywhere is a stepping stone. Like, anywhere will get you to another place in your career, another place in your life. And so I kind of just, like, see, like, everything happens for a reason. I don't know. I just, like, really believe that. So, like, I'm here for a reason. And wherever I end up next, whether it's here, whether it's somewhere else in the Europe, whether it's back home in the U.S., like, it will be meant to be. And I'll learn what I need to learn through wherever I go, whoever I meet, and I'm learning here now. Like, I'm developing my game with the people around me, and what will happen will happen.
But, I mean, you mentioned that Brøndby is interested. You went on a trial to Rangers. I know that Norway was interested in you. But, you know, Nick managed to keep you in Breiðablik.
Yeah.
Did he have to hold a speech for you, selling speech?
No, honestly, he was honest with me. He was like, look, like, we obviously really want you to come back.
Mm.
But, like, if Breiðablik isn't the next step, like, I'm always here for help. Like, I'm always here if you ever need anything. And that was just, like, very comfortable. Like, that was a comfort for me and reassuring. And I was just like, you know what, this is a great club. This is a great place to be. And I only played for Breiðablik for a couple months last year. So I was like, what's another season? Like, let's go back. I mean, I strongly believe that, like, we can win again. We have a very good team. And so I love all these girls. And the one thing Nick did say, he was like, if you come back, we'll look for another foreigner for you. I was like, all right, locked. I'm locked in. I'm coming back.
Yeah. But you mentioned that, you know, you say that you're still developing as a player. What is it that Nick and Edda are working on with you? Any specifics that you want to get better at?
I think I definitely need to get better at my mental game. Like, when I make mistakes, I get in my head and I'm like, stop making mistakes. But they're very good at just, like, focus on the next play. Like, mistakes are going to happen, and I can't let that get to me. Like, I just need to just focus on my next pass. Mm. And, like, being surrounded by such good players, like Agla Maria, like Heida, like all of the, on the field, they're very good at, like, you're good, Sammy. Like, it's not a big deal. Just win the ball back and keep going. So they're definitely helping me with that side of it. And then also just tweaking my game and, like, pressing situations. And I think Nick's next step for me is 1v1s because in the last couple of games, he's like, you need to be going at people more 1v1. And that's just, like, that's something I have to work on with reps and practice and extra trainings, and I'll do that. But I was one of the reasons that I came back was that I wanted to work with Nick and Etta on parts of my game. So I'll be doing that.
It's a smart move.
Yeah.
Over the past 20 or 30 years, I can probably mention two names. We've had foreigners like yourself who's come into the Icelandic League in soccer and handball also, which of course is a famous sport here, basketball. And when we've seen very good athletes, we've speeded up the process of getting citizenship. Would you, if the national team coach would call you and ask, would you play for Iceland if we would manage to get it through the parliament? Would you think about it?
I'd think about it. I don't know if I would actually do that. That would be, if I got that call, mm-hmm. I think I would be speechless. And I think that I would, I don't even know. I don't even know. But, I mean, that'd be really cool to get citizenship in another country and
you could play
a national team.
For your information, I know that you're good enough to play with the Icelandic national team. There's no question about that. So you'd be capable of playing in the European Championships. That's a huge window. You'd be capable of fighting to play at the World Cup. And it's easier at airports to have a double passport. I do have the green card. It's,
wow.
It makes you a little bit easier at airports.
All right. Hey, he's trying to work me. You're very convincing.
I'm trying to.
You're good at this.
I want all the best for the national team. I mean, you're an American and I'm an Icelandic. I'm patriotic too. You know.
Yeah.
We get. You know, it matters to me that we have a good team, and you could be a huge asset for the Icelandic national team.
Sure. I'll think about it.
You think about it.
I'll think about it.
I know that somebody's listening that's going to at least think about it. Stain is going to call me, the national team coach. What's wrong with you?
I know. He's going to be like, why would you say that?
Or he's going to say, maybe you want to come into the coaching staff.
Oh.
Who knows? No, but, you know, we'll see how. You wouldn't say, you'd be speechless, but you wouldn't say no immediately.
No, I mean, an opportunity that big wouldn't, like, I couldn't just turn that down immediately.
It has happened, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Before.
I'd think about it, I would. Okay. I would have to talk to my family and do some serious thinking. But
don't talk to them. Just talk to me.
All right, I'll call you.
Talk to Etta.
I'll call Etta. She'd be like, when can I take you to the immigration place?
Well, it's difficult to get through immigration here in Iceland. You have to wait a lot. But, you know, Iceland, it must have been something must have been more difficult than others things, you know, like 4 a.m. sunshine.
Yeah.
Any
11:30 p.m. sunshine.
Yeah.
Like, how can I get ready for bed? Shut all my blinds in my cave.
In your cave.
Yeah. And convince myself that it's dark out.
We play, you know, in June, the national teams in Iceland, we usually always play at home. I mean, we can't play in February national team games.
Yeah.
So teams have come to Iceland and say, it's impossible to play here. We can't sleep.
Yeah.
Did you have any, did it take you a long time to adapt to those things?
A little bit. Last summer, like, it was hard to wind down for bed because it's not dark out. Yeah. But I did, Linda did tell me to bring, like, a sleeping mask. So I had a sleeping mask to kind of make it darker in my room. But it's just, like, it's so weird. Kids will be, I mean, out east, even here, too. Kids will be walking around town at 10:30 at night. And I'm like,
why not?
Where are your parents?
At home.
But I'm like, go to bed. But people here don't go to bed till like 1 in the morning. And then they wake up at 8. I'm like, I need at least 8 hours of sleep to function. no, it was a crazy adjustment. But I honestly think it's so cool that it's bright out at 11 p.m.
You haven't been here in November, December, January.
No, I got here in March or end of February.
What about, I mean, the weather? I always say that, I don't always say it. I sometimes say that I feel like the wind starts in Iceland because it's so windy here.
Yeah.
I think that's the only negative thing about the Iceland is the wind.
I agree, yeah.
Playing football / soccer, and it's 20 meters per second on, you know, from one corner flag to the other.
Yeah.
Do these things bother you or?
I mean, last year I didn't really have much of it. I lucked out, really, because...
Yeah. And you, of course, played inside.
Exactly, yeah. So, and we practiced inside. So on a daily basis, I wasn't really exposed to the actual weather in Iceland. But then whenever we would come play here, or when we played at Íbivá last year, we kind of got a taste of the wind and rain. But it's honestly, like, not as bad as you would think. It's worse on the sidelines, I swear. On the bench, in the stands, it's worse than what you feel when you're playing out on the... I mean, unless it's... I watched one of the from Íbivá games, the men's, and the wind from the left side of the field, there was a cross. It went the ball went straight up in the air. I don't think I would be able to mentally handle that. Kidding. I'd be fine, but it would be frustrating. Keep the ball on the ground then.
What about the Icelandic food? Have you tasted any of our specialities like puffins, sharks, whales, horses?
Well, it's funny that you ask that because we were talking to Etta yesterday out east about puffins. Mm. And so maybe if I go out to visit a couple friends on Íbivá, I'll try puffins out there because she said that's where she tried it. And then I want to try the fermented shark, but I'm scared because I've heard that it has made people sick in the past and I don't want to voluntarily make myself sick, but like I'll suck it up for the experience.
I mean, you can miss it. It's not that.
That's what people say, but I feel like I should try it in Iceland.
But what about the whale?
I haven't had whale. The only thing I've had is reindeer. And it was great. Like, it was smoky. It was different. I liked it, though.
Last person who gave me a piece of whale was Katrin Ásbjörnsdóttir.
Okay.
She put it on the barbecue for me a few years ago.
Was it good?
It was great.
All right. I'll have to try it.
She did well. No, but, you know, so in general, the weather doesn't bother you that much. The food is okay, and the sun is great during the a.m. hours.
Yeah, life is great in Iceland.
What about the, I mean, you have mentioned it, but do you find Icelandic people different than your fellow Americans?
I think you guys are just so much more carefree. You don't care what anyone thinks of you or like, you just do whatever you want to do. And I love it. I want more of that. I feel like I'm too conscious of like, is someone like, if I do this, is someone going to get mad? Like, you know what I mean? If I cut off this person, are they going to... You guys are just like... La, da, da, da. And I love it. I need more of that. But you guys are... Icelandic people are very nice.
In general, I think they
are. I think so, yeah.
Outside of football, what are you doing here?
great question. I'm trying to see as much of the country as possible. Like, last year, I saw all down south and then up to Akureyri. But I haven't seen any of the West Fjords. No. So I have to make my way up there this year. And then also with Kate here, I get to bring her everywhere. And I get to show her all of the places that I went to last year. So that's also on my bucket list. But other than that, just enjoying my time in another country. Because when am I going to be able to do this again? You know what I mean? Like, while I'm young, might as well just enjoy living in Europe. Mm. And Kate and I are going to Greece in the June break.
Mm.
So enjoying the ability to fly within Europe more cheap than from the States, mm-hmm. you know? So I'm doing that. And I just keep telling my friends back home, like, whenever you guys want to visit, come visit. Because I'm here.
Any favorite places you have here that you've been visiting?
I like Selfoss because...
You like Selfoss?
Okay.
I'm a little bit surprised about that. I was thinking about the Black Beach
or
Hafnarfjörður where we are right now, my hometown, or the fjords. And
all right, give me a second chance.
Fáskrúðsfjörður or Egilstaðir. No, Selfoss.
All right, give me another chance. All right, with all of that in mind, I'd probably say the Glacier Lagoon.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
In the east part.
Yeah, what is it called? Like
Jökulsárlón.
Yeah, that.
I'm not going to translate it to Icelandic. My friends will only make fun of me.
Oh, boy. Wait, Glacier. Is it not Glacier?
Yeah. So Jökull is Glacier.
Yeah.
Jökulsár would be probably a river.
Okay.
And I have no idea how you translate loan, but
all right.
Yeah, but that's a very nice place.
Yeah,
Did you did you put your feet into the water?
No, but I threw a few rocks into the water.
Yeah, that was nice of you. It's packed with seals.
Okay. Wait, no, because I saw seals and I avoided those. Wow, this is going great.
Nice. The seals, they have enough skin to so that you won't manage to hurt them unless you hit them in the ice.
Hopefully I didn't do that.
No,
but the Glacier Lagoon's really cool. And obviously, like, the fjords are so pretty out east. There was a dock in Reyðarfjörður that we would jump off of after games, do a little ice bath.
Mm.
Or when my family came, I made my brother jump off with me at 3 a.m. It was...
I mean,
when it was bright out.
It was bright out. What are you supposed to do?
Exactly.
Sleep.
No, never. Never sleep in Iceland. What?
No, you can sleep during the wintertime. Then it's dark for 20 hours-ish.
Yeah, well, I just don't think I could survive that. I like my summertime window that I'm here. I enjoy that.
Okay, more serious now. Any advices for young girls? Are you coaching girls, for example, or both boys and girls at Breiðablik?
Both boys and girls, which makes it harder because Icelandic people say different things for boys and girls and then boys and girls together. Like, you say, like, let me try and think, like, strókur, yeah, strókar.
Mm-hmm.
And then stelpa, like, there's so many different versions of words, and I don't know which ones to use, so I just kind of...
Just say guys.
Yeah. Just throw that out.
Goes at both.
Yeah, okay.
No, but do you have any advices for those kids who want to become good players like yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the biggest things that helped me when I was a kid was getting in extra reps and, like, doing stuff on my own outside of practice. I think that's pretty important because that sets you apart from other people on your team. That sets you apart from people with just talent, like, because you're putting in the hard work and it will pay off at one point or another. So I would say just go when you have free time, go out to the field, get some touches, get some shots, get a friend and do some, like, passing drills or something. Like, it doesn't have to be anything crazy. It doesn't have to be for hours and hours. It could be for 20 minutes, but that 20 minutes will pay off in a few years, and it will set you apart from the people around you.
Samantha, it was an absolute pleasure having you. I laughed the most of the part, so that means it's good. I really hope that you'll do great this year with Breiðablik, even though you're title contenders with my home club, FV.
Oh, sorry.
Let's hope that you'll get that citizenship. If not, just move abroad and play for some good team in Norway or Germany or whatever.
Okay, I'll think about it.
Thanks for coming and all the best for the rest of the season.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure.
sem að legg mót og hjól Skoða hverfi sem í ól Það sól á bál Eða gekk ég eitt sinnum með sín að kó og poks og vasa diskú Með nýfengna krabba krón í hönd Ég fór að kaupa krónunum Jólabuxum með hlýðarönd Barnaskunnar sílast áfram framhjá kirkjugarði Þaðan á ég allt og margar minningar Alls í margir öðlingar sem ég býða þar Næsti átt að kalda á sel og fjárhúsi hvar ég klappaði forðum lömbum Baka gegnum setbergið ég skýst Finna hausinn á mér snýst En ég klára þetta víst Heila hring, finn ekki lengur hlaupa sting, því á þetta